A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Ksubas Lamed Gimel, Ksubas 33a, pagination 65, the very last line on the page, and then we'll move on to Amud Beis, dealing with the topic of Kamle Bidraba Minei, the principle that we give the person the more severe punishment when he did an act that has two ramifications, and we disregard the secondary punishment. And the assumption was that if you were dealing with a capital punishment and Malkus, we would give the capital punishment, Misa, killing the person, rather than Malkus, the lashes. Assumption being that Misa, executing somebody, is a more severe punishment than lashing. Now, let's back up for a second and appreciate that until now we were dealing with other cases such as lashes and money, or capital offense execution or money. And we definitely assumed that the lashes compared to the money was the more severe, and the death compared to the money, the death was more severe. But then we entered into this question, which the Gemara wishes to challenge, which is indeed worse, lashes or execution? And the Gemara quotes from an interesting statement, and I think we know intuitively, which is the conclusion of the Gemara, that execution is worse than lashes, but there is a fascinating quote here which the Gemara considers. The Gemara says, "Mimai demisa chamura." How do you know that death is worse than lashes, than Malkus? Dilma Malkus chamar. Maybe the Malkus is actually worse. The Amar Rav, because Rav taught us, Il mole nogdua lachananya mishoel va'azarya. If indeed they had beaten up Chananya, Mishael, and Azarya, if they had tortured them, polchu litzalma, they would have bowed to the icon of Nebuchadnezzar. The story of Chananya, Mishael, and Azarya is a very important one. In the time period between the first and second Beis HaMikdash, pretty much after the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Chananya, Mishael, and Azarya were designated from the Jewish people to bow to an icon of Nebuchadnezzar, and they, after consultation with the Navi, refused. They felt they would make a Kiddush Hashem, and they would not bow to the icon. They indeed were threatened with death, and they were saved miraculously. But the Gemara here says, in the name of Rav, that if instead of a one-time death, they would have been lashed, they would have broken, and they would have bowed. The inference is that lashes are worse. Torture is worse than execution. Amale Rav Sama Berei de Rav Asi le Rav Ashi. The response of the Gemara is Ve'amrila Rav Sama Berei de Rav Ashi le Rav Ashi. V'lo shani lach. Don't you appreciate the distinction bein hakosh sheyesh la kitzva, between lashes that have a limit? The lashes of Bezdin are 39 lashes. It's a limited time period. And a person will suffer that and then go on to living. And execution is certainly worse than that. Lahakosh she'en la kitzva. In contrast to torture through a monarch who's evil, such lashes, even though they're also called lashes, but it's lashes that have no limit. They could continue and continue and continue until the person breaks. And those types of lashes were indeed considered harsher, worse, more difficult to deal with than the execution which Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were willing to undergo so as now not to bow to the Tzelem. A few observations over here. Number one, in terms of translation. On the top line, the last word on the line, Il Malei. So Tosfos in Megillah, Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, points out that there's an important distinction between whether Il Malei is spelled with a Yud, which means if it did happen, as in if Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah had been beaten, they would have bowed. Il Malei with a Yud, if it did happen, as opposed to Il Malei with an Aleph at the end, which is like a contraction, Il Malei, lo, that it did not happen. And that distinction in translation is important. If it ends with an Aleph, it means that whatever is being described is not happening. If it's with a Yud, it's that it is happening. Now, Tosfos, in the second Tosfos on the page, has an objection. How could it be that you're telling me that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah would have bowed if they would have been tortured? We have a Gemara by Rabbi Akiva that says, Kol yomai ha-yisi mitztayer al-posuk zeh. Rabbi Akiva said that what's happening to me, that they're going to rip his flesh off and torture him to death because he was teaching Torah publicly, is simply the fulfillment of the pasuk, Rabbi Akiva held, of b'chol nafshecha, to serve Hashem with all of your life, even to give up your life. Ma'iri, apparently it's talking, afilu hayim yasrim esa'odam b'yisurim koshim, even if they torture the person with great tortures, Dumya Rabbi Akiva, we're still supposed to stand our ground and not bow and not worship idols. Kol shekein linigudei, certainly if a person is only being lashed, unlimited amount, they're supposed to withstand, they're supposed to be able to maintain their integrity to Torah and not bow to the idol. Why would Rav tell us that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah would have bowed had they been tortured? Clearly included in the mitzvah, according to Rabbi Akiva, is even torture. Why would you attribute a violation to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? V'omer Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfos responds in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, Da'oso tzelem lo haya avodas kochavim mamish. The icon that Nebuchadnezzar set up in his honor was not a true avodah zarah. Elohaya osu lechavod amelech. It was only to honor the king. And that's what our Gemara means when it says they were willing to undergo death to make a kiddush Hashem, but because it wasn't a true avodah zarah, had they been beaten up, as the Gemara explains, with an unlimited beating, they would have chosen to bow because they wouldn't have withheld, they wouldn't have had the strength for such a cause, because such a cause is not true avodah zarah. Which opens up an interesting question that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were giving up their lives for something that wasn't true avodah zarah. Are you allowed to do that? And to make a long story short, the answer is yes. In the words of the Ramah in Yeridea Kuf Nun Zayin, Im Ashot Tzricha Lekach, if there is a need in the time to make a Kiddush Hashem, V'rotze Lihareg, and a person chooses, it's an option, he wants to give up his life to make that Kiddush Hashem, harishus biyado, a person has permission, again, imashot tzricha lekach, if the times warrant such a Kiddush Hashem. And that's how Tosfos understands the story of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, we have them painted in a scenario exactly where it's a Kiddush Hashem if they give up their lives, but they're not obligated to give up their lives because it's not true Avodah Zarah that they were being asked to bow to. And therefore, our Gemara says that to give up their lives, they were willing. But had it been lashes of an unlimited type, they would not have stood their ground. But our Gemara, going back to our starting point, continues to maintain, which again intuitively makes a lot of sense, that execution is the worst punishment if given the choice between execution and lashes of Beis Din, because lashes of Beis Din are indeed limited to 39, and they are not comparable to the expression used by Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, which is dealing with the lashes of a wicked monarchy, which would be unlimited. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.